Thursday night. Tar Halach and Chayvus Halvavus, or whatever it is in Kislev. What's today in Kislev? It's pretty full moon tonight. Or Yud Beis Kislev. Yes. Or Yud Gimel. Okay, you're pretty full moon tonight. Okay, really, there's not supposed to be any significant delay between washing and eating bread. Halacha talks about Hiluch Chav Beizamis. Let's call it 15 seconds. So, most of the time we wait longer than that. We shouldn't. If you're waiting for other people, then you just have to wait for other people. So it takes longer, and it could even be that that's not... It's probable that that's not the hefsek that the Chazal were talking about, because you're waiting for other people. So that's not called... like everybody's washing. So the washing is going on. But a lot of times by a chasana hall or sukkahs, the washing place could be far from where you're eating, and the time will elapse. So b'di'eved, if you show me your yadayim and you make sure you don't touch anything that would be matami the yadayim again, like makomos chusos beguf or the like, and you're not misiach das, so it's okay b'di'eved. But what should you do l'chatchila? So the best thing to do l'chatchila is really to wash in the place where you're washing and make a bracha al netila shadayim and not dry your hands and walk carefully to the place where you're eating with wet hands, making sure not to touch anybody else's hands, and dry your hands by the place you're eating and immediately make hamotzi and eat. That's the best thing to do. What they do by chasana halls is they put a little, a little piece of bread there. That's not so good for various reasons. I mean, it's not the first choice. Or to walk back with dry hands is also, again, it's the safsik, but if you're not, misiach das, but the evidence is good. But that happens to be the best thing to do, what I just described. And but the evidence, if you're not misiach das, that's okay also. The problem is because you're not waiting for people. When you're waiting for people, then I guess it's even lechatchila, because what are you going to do? You know, it's like everybody's washing, so it's like one person taking a long time to wash. Okay, Rav Dechavis Halvavis wrote the Perek Zion, and Perek Zion brings proofs that in Perek Vav he proved that there's a creator, and in Perek Zion he talks about that the creator is one. There's only one creator. And he brings various proofs. Again, the proofs are a little strange to us, not because we're smarter than him, but because we don't think analytically or logically or philosophically as they did then. We think with our emotions nowadays. He brings different proofs. I'll say them over. I'll say over three of them tonight. One is that he says the nature of things, if you examine them, is that the cause of things is always less than the results. In other words, when you have whatever causes something, it diminishes in number as you go further in the cause. It becomes less in number. That's how things are in the Bria. So when you go back to the cause, you'll end up with only one. You'll end up with one Hashem. That's one compelling reason, we'll call it. You don't like the word proof, we'll call it compelling reason. Because you come back to Hashem's will. And at any time there's two things, you say, how many people in the world? Then you start categorizing them according to how types of people. So that's less of a number. So as you go back in the cause, in the group that it belongs to, it becomes less. So you end up with one. Another point is that if you examine the Bria, which we don't know how to do, you see that everything works. Different things work. If you would ever examine the way it rains, very complicated. The way anything works is very complicated. The way anything in the Bria works, and we know that much better than the Chavis Halavos knew it, because of the advance of knowledge of science and every discipline, whether it's astronomy or biology or zoology or plant life, anything, we know much, much more than he did. And it still holds true what he says, that you have all different forces working together in unison to produce a result, and it's enormously complicated. So that shows that really one mind created the whole puzzle piece. That's his second point. He then says, and it's even more than that, because things need each other. The earth needs the sun. The moon and the stars need the sun. The earth needs Shemayim and the sea. Animals need other animals, the way the Bria works. So not only do they work in unison to produce a result, but you have one thing needing another thing. So that's, you see that the whole cheshbon there, produced by one will, by one mind. His third compelling logical proof is that if you find a manuscript that it's written and it has the same, you know, the same signum and the same handwriting and the same style and the same everything, so you say it's produced by one person. I was thinking about Art Scroll. People say Art Scroll looks like it was written by one person. So it wasn't. But the truth is it was, really. Because even it's written by different people, but there was one person that Taka decided on the style and taught everybody how to do that. But it was Taka coming from one person, Taka. Or else we'd still be sitting in that room arguing. So you need, right? So you see a unity in nature. Both the second way he said it and the third way he said it. Unity in nature. Okay, we'll stop here. No, tonight.